Banchero steps to the side, rattles in a three.
We got to pick our energy up.
Jason Tatum all the way to the hole, jams it with two hands, beats the first half buzzer with a stop.
Fine, I'll do it myself.
Tatum, string music on a three with no airspace. Breaks the seal, the Celtics' first three-pointer tonight. Here's Tatum again against Bitaze. Rise and fire. Splash!
Hey.
Tatum over Carter. A chance at four for Jason Tatum. The quest for Banner 19 rolls on into round two. The Celtics look like a locomotive in the second half tonight. They wrap this thing up against the Magic in five. They trailed at halftime, and they win the game by 31.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a Wednesday, which means it's time for Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin of WEEI.com. You can check out all of his coverage of the Celtics at Justin M. Turpin, all over WEEI as well. Last night, Terp getting a little life lesson from Joe Mazzulla last night, right?
Occam's Razor.
Yeah. Occam's Razor is something you were unfamiliar with.
Before your time. With it. Yeah, before your time, Occam's Razor.
Before all of our times, I think.
Yeah.
Going back
to the time of Occam.
A long, long way. Exactly. Occam came up with it many, many moons ago. But what is your understanding now of, how did this come about, and what's your understanding now of Occam's Razor?
Well, it's as simple as the simplest explanation is the answer, and that's what it was for the Celtics in the second half, because I asked him, Joe Mazzulla, specifically about the margins, because the Celtics were absolutely destroyed on the margin of the first half, and somehow were only trailing by two, and they completely turned that around in the second half, and I asked him kind of what went into that, and he said it was the turnovers, and that's what Occam's Razor.
Hence,
good little
yada, 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 Occam's Razor.
Yeah. Ipso facto.
Ipso facto. We learned
Occam's
on.
Razor.
Occam's Razor.
So the simplest explanation is the right one, yes.
Yeah. Have you seen anything like it, though, with this Celtics team attempting six threes and missing all of them in one half?
No, not in the Joe Mazzulla era. I think it hadn't happened since 2021.
Right.
And that's kind of the biggest takeaway, I think, looking at this, is how well Orlando limited the threes. And I think people are going to look at what they did and see if other teams can replicate it. But I just don't think they can, because it's more of a personnel thing with Orlando. The way Orlando was able to let them play one-on-one and was able to switch, other teams really don't have the luxury of doing that.
Well, some teams can.
Some
teams,
Oklahoma City.
I was going to say, New York can't. Who can?
Oklahoma City. But
that's
Oklahoma
it?
City is also okay with the Celtics shooting threes. They've been okay with them shooting threes.
Yeah, they
this
can
season.
Just play. That's the only team that can probably just play it straight up and still win.
Well, one else in the league has the personnel.
In the
to do
Eastern
it.
Conference.
No, no,
in the Eastern Conference right now.
No, no, no one else in the NBA.
There are, but of teams that the Celtics are going to see in the postseason, I don't think any of them can.
Yeah, Knicks or Pistons. So we'll start there. Like Knicks or Pistons.
No,
because as long as Carl Anthony Towns is on the floor, they have someone to attack. Same thing with Cleveland. Darius Garland.
Even like Brunson.
Brunson, right?
Could Indy?
I don't think Indiana could either. I mean, they had this pretty much
I don't think Indy's
going to
get there, but could
year.
Indy? No.
No.
Could a team like...
It's more their offense with
could
Indy.
A team like Golden State? Could a team like Minnesota?
No. No, I really don't think so.
Okay, so
all
just,
of them have,
just OKC.
All
right.
All of them have weak links on the defensive end. Like, you need to be a very well-rounded defense to do that. You have to have guys that can defend. Like, everyone on the floor has to be able to defend. And that's really not the case in most NBA teams. Like, that's just the reality of it. And that's why Orlando was so good this year, taking away the three-pointers. And it wasn't even this series. Like, they did it all year to every team in the league. They allowed the fewest three-pointers, and they did it the fewest clip as well. So, I mean, they have so much talent on that end that it is kind of unique.
What's the health status right now? So, obviously, Jrue Holiday's missed three games. Tatum missed game two. Jaylen Brown's been on the injury report the whole time. We were both talking about Porzingis and his minutes and Derek White getting bopped in the head. So, like, what is the status right now for all these guys?
I mean, right now, I think the only one to be concerned about is Jrue Holiday.
Okay.
And we haven't seen him warm up. He wasn't on the floor at shoot-arounds in game three or four. He hadn't warmed up before the game in any of these games. In the last two, he was ruled out the day before the game, which is really never a good sign. But maybe it is something that they understand that he went through a long season, obviously went through the Olympics, played up until the NBA Finals last year, and he's 34. So maybe they're looking at that a little bit, and they don't want to push it. Also, hamstrings are really tricky.
Yeah.
So that's another kind of step in this equation. But you're looking at Jason Tatum, it's hard to be concerned about him coming off the wrist injury.
Mm-hmm.
Scored 35 in three straight games. The only other player to do that in Celtics history is Larry Bird. So he's doing all right. And Jaylen Brown as well. I was actually looking at this last night. Jaylen Brown has had two double-doubles this series. That ties his career high for an entire postseason run. Like, that's So he's playing pretty well, all things considered, with the knee injury. Obviously, it doesn't look pretty at times, like when you see him come down
so
wincing.
So he had a double-double game two. What was the other one?
Game four.
Okay, because as I said, the game without Tatum, they obviously needed more out of him. They got it. So the other one was game four. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, so that's two double-doubles is in one series, and he's doing a little bit of everything. And obviously, again, it's not going to look pretty all the time when he's coming down wincing and stuff, but he's been very open that this is something he's just going to have to deal with. So I think come maybe even next week, like when we're just still talking about Jalen's knee, it's going to grow tiresome, but it's something they are going to have to deal with the entire postseason run.
So for me, the Celtics in the second half last night, that's more of what I expected this series to look like. I was wrong. Terp, you thought it would take five. You thought it would be ugly. You were right, which is why we have you in every week. So, but last night is what I expected it to look like. I will say this. If the Celtics just shot like that all series and swept the Magic and won going away, I would look at it and say, that's what I expected, but I learned nothing because I expected that. And the Celtics just came in and rained threes and they beat a team they're head and shoulders better than. I wouldn't have learned anything. I think we may have learned a little something about the Celtics in this series. Do you think they're better off for going through the physicality of the Magic, the way the Magic played, the way the Magic made them play different? Do you think they're better for it?
Without a doubt. And I don't think it's necessarily the physicality part. I think that's a big part of it because they're not going to see a team that's as physical as Orlando was until possibly Oklahoma City. I don't think the physicality thing was that big of a deal because I don't think they necessarily needed that wake-up call in the postseason, right? Like, I think if they played a team like Atlanta, they would have been ready to go as well just because they understand what it takes. They were there. They reached the mountaintop last year. So I don't think they necessarily needed the wake-up call. But in terms of handling that physicality and finding different ways to win, obviously you mentioned the three-point shooting. Like, that has been their bread and butter. That has been their DNA. And it's not usually the three-point shooting. It's just finding the best shot. But they took that away, and they still were able to find ways to win against a very good defense, against a really physical team. So they're definitely better off for this. Maybe not on the bumps and bruises. You don't really want that in game in the first-round series. But what they learned there and being forced out of their comfort zone and having to win in different ways will absolutely benefit them down the line.
What did you think of Porzingis in this series? Obviously, that signature moment where he gets elbowed in the head, he's bleeding everywhere, he's going crazy with the fans, and like that was like a signature moment. However, I don't know. Like he played less minutes than all the other starters. He had a couple of games where he scored a little bit, more games where he didn't. What's your overall take? He did play in every game. It's like that's sort of one check mark you can have.
Getting out healthy in that series,
right?
Big deal.
He played the whole series, and he's healthy going into the next one. But overall, on the court, what'd you see?
He was affected the most by the physicality, without a doubt. That was just not a good matchup for him. And there was also times where he was just missing shots that he usually makes. Like he had Cole Anthony right.
I was just
going to
say
a couple times.
He's one on one with Cole Anthony and couldn't hit the short jumper.
Like they're rimming out. That happened like
little itty bitty Cole Anthony.
Quite a few times that happened, but I mean, he looked good in game four. He shot like 50% from three and from field. So he looked pretty good in game four. It's just this was not his type of matchup. Like, I think we knew the physicality isn't really his thing. He can do it. But against a team like that, I think he was kind of pushed off his game, made uncomfortable, and he was most impacted by it.
What was Tatum's best game in the series?
You got to go with last night, I think.
I mean,
or game four. The way he played down the stretch, single-handedly outscoring them.
I think it was last night. He didn't shoot well. It was almost all free throws.
Just taking over, though.
No, he did. But to me, last night, I know people think I'm critical of Tatum. You're probably in this group too, Terp. And I have been critical of Tatum, but I think a lot of him. And I know he's capable of stuff like what he did last night. He kept them in the game when the team could not shoot, could not score, couldn't do anything. He kept them in the game early. He had the big dunk before halftime, which helped turn the momentum along with the brainless coach on the other side, which we can get to. But he also helped open up the floodgates and kick the team into overdrive in the second half. And he shot well. And I think he showed a little bit of toughness in this series, which I don't always think he shows. So to me, last night was great. And these last three games since the wrist injury, I was pretty happy with the performance out of Tatum. When we're critical of him not shooting well and scoring 18, 22 in a playoff game, even when he's contributing rebounds and assists, this is why we're critical of that, because we know he's capable of stuff like this.
And this is what we've been talking about really throughout the year. Like, if he's going to win MVP, it's this Jason Tatum that's going to do it. The one that's being aggressive, that's getting downhill, that's creating for others. I mean, he had a ton of assists last night. I mean, when he gets those assist numbers up, that's what's been holding him back, in my opinion, is that he hasn't had these assist numbers up. That's what's kind of been preventing him from being in serious MVP conversations. If he can do that and he can look like this, which he has shown he can, specifically since the All-Star break, he's really looked like this often since the All-Star break. This is when he breaks through and wins an MVP. This is the best Jason Jason Tatum we've seen, and he's doing it on both ends of the floor. Like, he was terrific defensively in this series as well. So this could be a really special run for Tatum when you're looking at the potential opponents they can see. I mean, he has destroyed New York this year.
Yeah.
They've had no answer for
him. They've all destroyed New York. That's the thing is, like, yeah. Orlando, New York's better than Orlando, but matchup-wise, New York might be less challenging
they
than the Magic.
Definitely, without a doubt, yeah. I think a better matchup for Boston than Orlando is. Like, they just have no answer for
themselves.
Like,
I would expect Porzingis to play a lot better.
Much
better. To your point about the physicality and just that style. And pretty much every, like, Tatum, Brown, like, all of them to play better.
Yeah, through the first three games, the Knicks led for, like, 45 seconds. Like, they just, there's such a disparity between the two.
I thought they found out a little, I'm not predicting the Knicks to win. I liked them in the offseason. I thought they were the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East. Wrong. But the last game, and maybe I'm putting too much stock in it, I thought Towns kind of abused Tatum defensively, meaning Tatum as a defender, and I thought they kind of changed some stuff that helped make that game competitive. Tatum hit a big shot to force overtime. They won an OT. So I'm curious if that rears up in this series, but largely I agree with you on New York. On Tatum, you've heard Keith's strong take. I don't want to call it a hot take, but strong take on Mazzulla and being on the hot seat after calling out Tatum. You heard this?
I haven't.
You want to give him your take?
Well, basically, he needs to be careful because the only way for Mazzulla to, you know, lose his job would be for the star player to not be happy with him. And if he's calling him out, and I, you know, we talked about it in those 2 days after, you know, Tatum went down, was holding his wrist, Joe Mazzulla was yelling at him and whatever. But then a couple games later, Tatum brought it up unprovoked. Like, he was asked about his wrist, but he wasn't asked specifically about Joe. And he's like, well, it hurt more than Coach thought it did, and what did Joe say? Get up or whatever?
Like, he wanted me to get
two
up.
Two different answers. He was referencing that. So I know everybody's like, oh, these guys have a good relationship, but I don't know. I feel like the fact that he brought it up has to be at least on Tatum's mind a little bit. It has to bother him a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely bothered him.
Yeah.
But I also think it sounds kind of weird, but, like, I think Joe does get, like, leeway with them for that. Like, I think they've come to understand that that's just the way he is. That's the way he coaches. Yeah. I actually did a feature on this last year for WEI.com where I talked to a bunch of the players and asked them, like, what makes Joe so different. Specifically, Drew Holiday and Al Horford stuck out to me when discussing it with them just because they've played for so many different coaches. And they're like, we haven't seen anything like this. Like, it's fun. It's unique. Like, they're calling him, like, a psycho and stuff. Like, they've just learned to understand this. And I think Jason Tatum has, like, just the utmost respect for Joe Mazzulla. There was actually a feature the other day. I forget the outlet that published it, but Jason called him the best coach in the NBA. And even though Joe won't admit it, he feels that way. So them two get along great. Like, I don't think there's any problem with that. And I think they've just come to understand that that's part of the gimmick that comes with Joe. Like, that's just the way he is. Yeah. Like, we're just kind of going to deal with it.
Beginning of the end, maybe, for Mazzulla. You never know. And Tatum. Every relationship that goes south, it's got to start somewhere.
Put on the list.
Yeah, add that to the list. There's no doubt about it. What did you think of Jamal Mosley sticking with Bancaro last night in the third quarter?
He should have went to him way earlier. I think he should have went to him earlier.
Wait.
With the five fouls.
I wasn't even talking about that. So you think once he had the five fouls, he should have put him back in?
When the Celtics were on that big run at the end of the third quarter, you can feel that game getting away. He should have went to him.
It was already over because he screwed it up. When he gets his fourth foul, you sit him down.
You got to sit him. Yeah.
I'm okay with an early third foul. That's not really even foul trouble in the second half. I'm totally okay with that. When he got his fourth in a quick window and Jalen's picking him out.
Less than 3 minutes.
Yeah. Get him out. Just sit him down. Just to cool down for a minute. Just sit him down. It's not like you can't go back to him again until the fourth quarter. But when he gets his fourth, you have to sit up. That's why that lost the Magic the game. They might have lost either way. But once Bancaro got the fifth, they had no chance. They're already a two-player team. When you take one of those guys off the floor, they have no chance. Well, that was brainless.
Scal even brought it up. As soon as the Celtics got up by like 8 or 10, he's like, this is like a 40-point lead for other teams.
Right.
You know, like,
but you would have gone back when he had five fouls.
I would have. One of the things, and I guess it's a little bit different in this case, when coaches wait too long to put a player back in with five fouls, you're effectively fouling them out yourselves. Just let the officials do it at that point. Like, you're keeping a guy on the bench, and this is more so pertains like towards the fourth quarter. Like, I think like game 3 or game 4 with Porzingis. I think it was game 4, where Joe kind of waited a long time to get him going. Like, you're effectively following the guy out yourself. Just let the officials do it. I think, like, you should go to them earlier than most coaches do. I think
Mosley,
it's a little bit different.
Mosley fouled his guy out last night. Right. I'm letting him stay
He should have taken him out when he got the fourth. I completely agree. That was way too early. And I don't think we were past even the 10-minute mark.
But then you have the Knicks last night where you got Jalen Brunson standing at the scorer's table for like 2 minutes. They're like, you got to stop the clock here. You got to get him in.
Call a timeout. Something. Yeah.
The Pistons tried to give that game back also Is there any chance that they pull off the series comeback, or are they just too clumsy late in games?
I think they're too clumsy and they're too young. I mean, it's remarkable what they've done. Like, they set an NBA record for most consecutive losses last year.
Oh, yeah, it was an unbelievable turnaround.
Now they're in the NBA playoffs.
They should have won all of these games so far against the Knicks, and they're down 3-1. Or, 3-2.
They've had double-digit leads in the fourth, but most of these games.
Yeah. Detroit should be up 5-0 going into game six. They should be.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But if you're the Celtics, I think you're pretty happy with that. I
mean, Detroit would be
closer to, like, Orlando, I think, like, the way just their physicality and the way they're going to muck up a game.
Yeah.
But, like, you'd much rather see New York.
You think, I don't know if you heard our commentary on this, you think Giannis is a loser for the way he addressed Halliburton's father last... Halliburton's father is a clown.
Also a loser.
We're not debating that. So I guess I break with Shime on this. But Giannis's response after the game to be like, I've won. I know what it takes. You should win and be humble. You don't need to get in people's face about it. Coupled with him defending their early exit a few years ago. I know he's won a championship. I kind of think Giannis is a loser.
Yeah, he clings on to that championship, doesn't he?
Sure does.
I mean, that whole thing three years ago, when he was like, no season's a failure.
Yeah, they lost that was when they lost to Miami.
Yeah, they lost in the first round.
As a one seed, and you're like...
In like five games.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they got a competitive smoked. Series.
I will say, he should be very frustrated, though. He got no help. I mean, he got a little help last night from Gary Trent Jr., but like, there was no help throughout this entire series.
They hired Doc Rivers there. Like, what a disaster.
I meant to say this earlier. The reason he went on this like 3.5-minute answer, you can go seek out the full answer. We're not going to play it for you. But you can go seek out the full answer. He's talking about his mother and his father, and there's some nice moments in there in a big, giant, long loser answer. There's a couple of nice moments. But I think he's just deflecting because he knows he's out. Like, I think he's just deflecting and filibustering because he didn't want questions about his future in Milwaukee, which he shot down.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to talk about losing again.
You think he's somewhere else next year?
Yeah.
He's never committed to Milwaukee.
Going? I don't know. I mean, good question. Where is he going? I don't know. Somewhere.
What would be the worst place for him to go if you're the Celtics?
Miami.
See, but what do they have left? Tyler Hero and
they're
going to
have
Adebayo?
Big changes themselves this offseason. That team's going to look a lot different.
I just think, I don't know, I wouldn't give Riley a player like that. That's all. Yeah, and like, as much of a loser as I think Giannis
is. Would Milwaukee train him in the East?
I don't know.
So he's under contract?
That wasn't the question. The question was, what would be the worst place
for him? What would
be
the worst place for him to go if you're the Celtics?
Yeah, Miami.
I don't know.
What would be worse?
Philly?
Philly's scare me, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, so he's under contract for 2 more years and then has a player option for $66 million in 3 years. So it's like they don't have to trade him. But yeah, that could be
his future's been murky for a while now.
I just think he was up to something else with that loser answer last night because he's probably about to flee Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Force his way out.
Probably. What if you went to the Pacers and so you had him like with Halliburton? Like, I think like that's what it would take. Like, or like with Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland. Like,
right, but
you need to put him somewhere like that.
But he can go to Miami, be there, and attract somebody else to go.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It would have to be him and somebody.
Yeah. I just think part of a larger Pat Riley play, he's done it before. Like, that would scare me. I mean, they'd need to get the other player. I get what you're saying, but that would scare me.
Because I wonder if he's at the point where he's still putting up incredible numbers and he's still first team All NBA, but does he need a better guy? If he's ever going to win another title, does he need another guy like better than him?
For sure.
Probably.
I mean, they tried to do that with Dame, and it just did not work out.
No.
I mean, looking back at that trade, the Celtics get Drew Holiday out of that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the whole thing with firing Adrian Griffin, too, that entire season last year was just a disaster for Milwaukee, and it continued into this year.
I got to get my larynx fixed.
Oh, this is a good one. Giannis to the Celtics would be the worst.
Would be the worst.
I heard Wiggy making this case. That would be the worst.
I don't want that.
How about Giannis and Durant somewhere? I don't think that team's winning anything.
I don't think they are. I mean, look at Durant. Seriously.
Two losers who have won.
Look at Durant with the
Suns. The long tease for Tier Tuesday.
Durant's run post-Warriors?
Uh-huh.
I mean.
Not great.
That's a good documentary.
Look at the teams
he's
had. I mean, in Brooklyn.
And the players. He's like all the guys. Been around. Kyrie's playing with Harden. He's playing with Booker.
He's either glommed onto those teams or he's like handpicked them.
Right.
Like he handpicked.
Mostly handpicked.
What went on in Brooklyn. Yeah, exactly. Before we let you go, Turp, you came in real hot about 100 men, or one gorilla. What was your direct quote? I don't know if it's for air. Give me an approximation of your direct quote.
100 people would F up a gorilla.
That's not what you said.
You said I could beat
that
gorilla. I said 100 people.
You said
100
Turps.
No.
That's not what you came in through the door.
If I had 100 people.
100 Turps versus one gorilla. You're taking 100 Turps?
I don't know, because like 99.
I don't know. Now I'm not sure.
I mean, a bunch of those Terps would be looking at and being like, how dare you do that to Terp? That's me over there. That's doing me. That too.
Yeah, that'd be tough to reconcile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That gorilla is
I think you're completely underselling the gorillas.
I mean, they are terrifying creatures, but that's 100 people is a lot of people.
Could one of the 100 be Joel Prisbilla, the vanilla gorilla? You guys thought about that?
I hadn't. I really hadn't.
If he was one of the guys, that'd feel better.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, your logic
Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah.
You have to take Gorilla Monsoon and Joel Prisbilla.
That's this. Now we're getting somewhere. But you notice Terp has distanced himself a little bit from saying, hey, walk right in. And he's like,
oh, yeah. He's like, talking a big
F
talk.
That gorilla. Yeah, yeah,
big
yeah.
talk.
Yeah.
100 people is a lot of people.
Okay,
it's like one gorilla.
That's a good argument.
No, that's a lot of people. That's all the argument I need. 100 people?
Oh, this is not,
for one
this
gorilla.
Is not exactly.
Oh, yeah,
look
right.
at that.
Oh, on Twitch and on YouTube, we have a picture of a gorilla with his mouth wide open. He can fit a whole human head in there. One bite.
One, and then we got 99 more. Yeah.
Sounds of Music in the Twitch chat says a gorilla could destroy 1,000 terps.
1,000 terps?
That's even more people.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're all terps.
That's 10 times the people. All right, well, something to chew on.
All right, Pure Hoops and some other topics with Terp here on a Wednesday, every Wednesday at high noon. Terp, we appreciate it. Keep up the strong coverage. You're going to be in New York, I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
You were in Orlando.
Yeah,
you're
going
to be in New York.
We'll be.
Well, right. Or Detroit.
It'll be New York.
Or Detroit.
It will be New York.
Or Detroit. But stay tuned for all his coverage at Justin M. Turpin and all over WEEI on socials and on the website as well. Terp, thanks so much.
I said it, you know, this season was like the most relaxed and carefree that I've been in my career. Understanding that, you know, we won last year and we accomplished the ultimate goal. And you kind of got that monkey off your back. So, you know, obviously the goal is still the same this year to win and compete for a championship. But, you know, I've just enjoyed this season of, you know, playing carefree basketball and, you know, not having that hang over my head. And, you know, it's been fun to do. And, you know, I just have just a sense of freedom that I've just carried this season, you know, with that.
Jason Tatum following last night's 120-89 runaway victory over the Orlando Magic. Celtics on to round two. They await the winner of the Knicks and Pistons. Should get started this weekend if New York can close out Detroit or early next week. If it goes to a game 7. Tatum's been awesome, or at least last night I thought was spectacular. What'd you think of that answer? I was surprised we got some blowback on the text line earlier about, oh, you played too relaxed, you've always played relaxed, we want more of a killer. I kind of like that answer from Tatum last night. It's like, look, I won. It's important that I won. I feel different now that I've won. And all the pressure that was there in the past isn't there anymore. And it allows for a breakthrough in some ways. Like, I like that answer from him.
So I do think it's not like his idol Kobe Bryant, and it's not like some of those guys that we look at as just like straight killer instinct players, but he has never been that guy and will never be that guy. Doesn't mean you're not a tremendous player. Doesn't mean you can't still win a title. Doesn't mean you can't win back-to-back titles. But I think if other players said that, you might say, wait, you win a title and now you're just like, you're good, it's free and easy. Because we're so obsessed with like multiple titles and winning all the time. It's not the mentality that like Tom Brady had. I don't think Tom Brady won a title and was like, I'm good. Or even Belichick or any of those guys. Like, I think it's all about winning more. But I get his point. And we've heard him talk for, you know, 8 years or whatever it is. It did make a lot of sense because he was questioned all the time. Like getting to the finals and losing. You know, not winning it. It's like, when is he going to win it? When is he going to win it? At such an early age because he's only made the playoffs. He never had a couple of rebuilding years like Cade Cunningham. He was shot right into good teams trying to win. So, yeah, like the monkey should be off his back in that sense. And he's voicing it, but it is different than like what a lot of other athletes would say.
And so if he really feels that way, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Now, I would tell you in most of this series, to me, it didn't look like he played that way. He didn't play that way in game one. He did not play in game two. They won without him. He came back in game three and they lost. Game four, we can debate. I didn't think his game four was great, but he did have a good finishing kick in the fourth quarter. It was mostly at the free throw line, but at least he was getting to the free throw line. He was hitting his free throws once he got there, so maybe that's nitpicky on my end. Last night, it looked like he played that way. And I'll reiterate, I think last night he was spectacular.
He's great.
This is the Tatum that I personally, I keep saying we, text line pointed this out. They're like, Jones, you keep saying we. I have been asking for this Jason Tatum. I think he's shown a little bit of toughness. I still don't think he's the toughest. But I think he's shown a little bit of toughness coming back from sitting out game two. Since then, I think there's been an element of that. And last night, he carried the team when they needed him early. Nothing was working. They couldn't hit a three. Nobody else was going. He kept them within striking distance, even of an Orlando Magic team, a 500 Orlando Magic team, which is still what they were. He kept them within striking distance. When they needed him early, he kept them in the game. He had the dunk right before halftime to build a little bit of momentum. And then he was front and center for the finishing kick, as was Jalen. Jalen is the one who fouled Banchero out of the game. He was the one who recognized the matchup, recognized the foul trouble, went at Banchero and got foul after foul after foul to the point where he sat down. Mosley was a moron for sticking with him, and then the game completely turned. But Tatum was right in the middle of that whole kick.
Right.
And I just think he was spectacular last night. And when we criticize him, or when I've criticized him in the past, like last year, I said he got carried by Jaylen Brown. Oh, well, he had points, and he had rebounds, Jones, and he had assists.
Yeah, sure did.
But he was inefficient. Like, last night was a high level of efficiency.
Oh, he was super efficient.
And I felt like he was right in the middle of all of it. Like, that, when we're asking for more out of Tatum, that, to me, is what it looks like. And so, no, I thought he was great last night.
Well, a big topic, obviously, last year in the playoffs was the fact that Jaylen Brown was Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and he was Finals MVP. They don't give out a first-round MVP.
Who's first-round MVP?
Tatum. He missed the game, and he's still the MVP. He was only there for three games.
They did win without him.
They did.
And they lost with him.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just trying
to... do you have somebody else?
I'm just thinking my way through it. It's probably him.
It's definitely him. I think it's definitely him. I think he was...
I mean, Jalen was the best player on the floor in the game he missed, and they won.
Yes.
So Jalen would be in the mix, but yeah, let me look at...
Jalen didn't have a great game one.
All right, first-round MVP.
Well, Tatum, we'll give it. The Jones and Key first round MVP. We do it for every series.
Well, no. Yeah, for the series.
Yeah.
Not for the whole first round.
Oh. First round. Yeah, this series.
Yeah. Opening round series, Celtics and Magic. Who was the MVP? Let's give it to Tatum.
In this Eastern Conference 2-7 game matchup, do you got?
In the quarterfinal. Yeah, I'd give it to Tatum, probably.
Tatum was.
Last night swung it for me.
Yeah, right. And that's what it was. It was a closeout game. We talked about how in the first quarter he was their entire offense. It was a slow start for the team.
It's definitely Tatum.
It was far and away Tatum. Yeah, even with the miss, like, he spotted everybody a game. It still was the best player. But that's one series against the Magic. Now that could get forgotten as we go on. But next round against the Knicks, in all likelihood, we'll see how he does from there and as he keeps going. Because I do think, just with all these players, and they kind of know where they stand relative to like NBA history and team history and everything else. Once we get down this road, if they make it to the finals again, I do think finals MVP has to be on his mind. I know he's saying, oh, it's free and easy. They won the title, but like,
that's true.
It's just human nature.
You got to check another box. And if they win back to back, he'll be made good. I mean, it has to be. He has to play horribly
by somebody else. Like, somebody else has to like really win it, and he has to lose it.
Right.
It's the combination.
Yeah. If it's close, he will be finals MVP, almost independent of how he plays.
Yep.
So, and it'll be more of a make good than anything else. If it's close, if he goes out and plays like this.
If he plays like this, then
he'll deserve it.
Yeah.
That's fair. But this is the Tatum that I specifically want to see. Do you agree that he's shown some toughness since coming back from the... he's clearly not hurt.
Yeah.
It might bother him, but
I think after the Anthony Black play from the other night where he got smashed right on the wrist.
That's a good example.
Right, so it's not like, just like a hard foul somewhere else. Like, it's where you already have an injury and, kind of shakes his head, dusts it off, and keeps playing. And really, so he misses game two, and then since then... He's averaged, 36 points a game in the next three? Plus, he's passing it out, dishing out a bunch of assists, grabbing a bunch of rebounds, playing a lot of minutes. So, yeah, I think he has definitely stepped up to the plate when they've needed him, and he has shown toughness.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely been that. Even mixing it up a little bit with Caldwell Pope the other night, and that's small potatoes.
Yeah.
Especially when we've both been, watching, as you said a bunch, Celtic City, and you see some real...
Yeah.
Physicality,
and punch
some
each other
real
in the face.
Fights and punches, and but like even just a little bit of that from Tatum, I think he showed a little bit of edge, and a little bit of toughness. I thought sitting out game two looked a little soft. It was pain tolerance, is how it was reported, and I'm not just saying that about Tatum. I said the same thing about Jimmy Butler and his butt bruise for missing a game the other day. I think that's soft, but since he's come back, I've been impressed by that. Text line.
Yes.
617-779-7937. Jones, you talk about basketball superstars like they can effectively go 9 of 10. You just can't turn on a switch and make field goals. No, but Tatum had not been shooting well in this series prior to last night, and he shot poorly the whole postseason last year. So, like, no, you can have bad games here and there. I mean, his efficiency was way down in the playoffs last year. And so,
A lot of those guys, they couldn't buy threes. That's what happened to them when they played the Warriors in the finals a few years ago.
Do you think this is the Tatum they need to win this year?
Again,
they don't need to win by 30 every night. He doesn't need to score 35 and make basically everything every night. Is this the Tatum they need to repeat?
Projecting it out against Oklahoma City, probably. I still don't think they necessarily need that every single night against the Knicks, certainly. I think they'll have other guys and they'll be fine. And even as much as I like the Cavs, he has a couple games like this. I think they still have enough around him where they can win that series. But against the Thunder, and assuming it's if it's them that get there, the way they've looked, the way they've matched up against them in the regular season, yeah, you might need that. And that's fine because I think he's capable of it. But that might be what breaks the tie.
But if that's what you need, then he's got to go do it.
He can.
And he can. He absolutely can. He showed you last night he can. So let's see if he can keep doing that. And, you know, when it comes to the Orlando Magic, I think he and the Celtics are better off for it now that they're on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully getting tested and pushed a little bit early gets them to lock in here as opposed to coasting past an overwhelmed team, making all their threes. I think it's good they had to win differently, play differently, get a little physical. I think that was a good way to start. Now that they're on the other side of it. Wasn't always pretty to watch. Wasn't always enjoyable.
No.
But now that they're through it, I do think it was good for them.
Yeah, and when you're watching the first half last night, did you miss the three-point shot just a little bit? For a lot of people who complain about the threes, like, oh, all the league is threes. There was no threes for the Celtics. You're like, what are they doing?
The sneaky thing with the Magic is not just the Celtics were missing. The Magic do not let them take. Even last night.
They didn't
the Celtics
take them.
Celtics made 13.
Yeah, of 24.
They only took 24. They did not make a three in the first half. They only took six.
It's crazy.
So
Tatum and Brown didn't shoot all three in the first half.
Right. Even for the second half, Keith, to your point. So they were, 13 out of 18 in the second half?
Yeah.
18 and a half is not a crazy number for them. Even in the second half when they were making everything.
That's still way below their average. They averaged 48 or over 48 a game attempts.
Right.
So even if you doubled that, it wasn't even close.
So can teams do that? I'm not sure how many of them can. I disagree with Terp on a team like Golden State. But OKC, you know, I think has the personnel to do that if they decide to play him that way. They may not need to,
as you made that point.
I think the physicality and bringing a little extra edge against the Celtics is something more teams could do. I think the Knicks, even as bad as they are defensively, I think they have some players who could do that. Like Josh Hart could do that. But we'll see if teams follow suit from the Magic's playbook there. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback coming up. And of the teams remaining, as we were just discussing, who's the biggest threat for the Seas? We'll get to that next.
Orlando did a good job of trying to, make us play a different style of ball. And I think we had adjusted to that well. I think, going into the playoffs, everybody was concerned with our three-point shooting. They wanted to take away our three-point shooting, or do we shoot too many threes? Can we win games? And I think, we didn't shoot a lot of threes in this whole entire series, and we had to still, win games in the trenches. So I think it was a great challenge for us, and I think that it's a great step for us moving forward and a series that we can learn from.
How was Jaylen Brown after the game last night? And I largely agree with his stance. Good test by the Magic. Should be good for the Celtics long term. I mean, we'll see if they're right. I feel that way. We'll see if that ultimately proves true. I'm wrong all the time. But Jaylen,
that is true.
agrees with that. And, I think it was good to get tested early and have to win differently. But we know they're good enough now to win differently, against the Orlando Magic, who have two players and are a 500 team. They're pesky, they're scrappy, but we know they're good enough to win that way. Are they good enough to win a championship if the threes aren't falling and players on the other side are healthy in the postseason, which they weren't last year? Let's find out. But I think an early test for them was a good thing. And to your point, Keith, I'm not sure everybody can defend them the way Orlando did. Some teams may try, but I don't know they have the personnel to do that. So who do you think in the entire NBA playoffs remaining left in the field, who do you think is a team that's the biggest threat to the Celtics? So I think we have the same one.
I think it's the Thunder. Okay. I mean, it was the Thunder going into the playoffs. There's nothing based off of the first round where they swept and the Celtics won in five that would make me feel differently. They beat them both times head-to-head in the regular season. They are young. It might not be their time, but as far as like talent and the way they play, it kind of has to be the Thunder.
Yeah, and last I checked, I haven't looked at updated odds, but last I checked entering the postseason, the Thunder were a slight title favorite over the Celtics. So I agree. OKC, biggest threat to the Celtics. After that, who is it?
I think it's the Cavs. I love, yeah, I say this every single time with them. I love Donovan Mitchell, and I just feel like in a close game late, he is one of the guys on the other side that would terrify me as a Celtics fan. Plus,
because you've seen it. He's done he's done it to the Celtics at the end of games as a Cleveland Cavalier. He's done it.
He has that in him. And, you know, Evan Mobley is really good. They can maybe trouble you a little bit with their double bigs. Plus, that's a team that's giving you a run for your money in the regular season as well. So they have some confidence against you. They got a couple of guys that can shoot. And, you know, overall, I think that's a really good team. So I would say Cleveland would be the next team after Oklahoma City.
So I would think the biggest threat, and they have to get there, obviously, but it would be a threat to the Celtics if they're there. Golden State would be a scary team on the other side. I thought they would win this series against Houston. I don't want to overreact, but I thought they would win this series against Houston. I just think the Rockets were primed to get picked off as a high seed in the West, but
yeah,
a high-effort level team. I don't know how high their skill level is. But if it's Curry and Butler on the other side in the NBA Finals, that is a threat. I mean, you can say the Celtics would beat them. I would pick the Celtics to beat them. But I would also pick the Celtics to beat the Cavs. That, to me, is the most threatening team short of OKC.
Well, Vegas kind of agrees because they have the Warriors as the fourth best odds to win the NBA Finals.
So what? It goes OKC, Boston, Cleveland?
Cleveland, Golden State.
Okay, so those are the teams.
Yeah, it makes sense because Golden State right now is beating the 2 seed, and then the 3 seed is the Lakers, and they're down 3-1. So, yeah, that definitely makes sense. And Nuggets Clippers is kind of a coin toss, plus they have to play the Thunder, so I get why it'd be the Golden State Warriors. But it's funny, as like a Celtics fan, like over the last 5 years, the two teams that have stood in your way and blocked you from winning multiple titles or at least getting to a chance to win titles is Curry and Butler. Like, forget about like, oh, it's Heat culture or like Draymond Green. No, it's Steph Curry and it's Jimmy Butler, and now they're teammates. And if they win 3 rounds, like when that trade happened, I was wrong. I was like, I'm not worried about the Thunder or the Warriors. I'm not worried about them. Oh, they've been pretty good. They're about to advance at least into the next round. I'll probably take them over Minnesota. I think they lose to the Thunder.
Right, me too.
I think they
lose
to the Thunder.
OKC against Golden State.
Maybe Minnesota beats them. But either way,
if they
get there, you're like, holy crap, like Curry, like you can't kill him. He's like a zombie.
But maybe put it another way. If the Final Four are OKC and Golden State on one side and you and Cleveland on the other, like that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And it's way tougher than what they had to go through last year, assuming you get healthy teams. If they repeat, Keith, let's really get ahead of ourselves.
All right, please.
I heard Greg Hill doing a little bit of this. I thought it was a good conversation today.
Right.
If they repeat.
Yeah.
They're definitely considered better than the Pierce, Garnett, Ray Allen Celtics, right? No argument there.
Yeah, sadly.
Like, do they start?
I love Pierce, but yeah.
Do they start moving in on the 80s Celtics?
Well, no. I mean, the number would tell you they won 3 and they were in how many finals? I got to double check my Celtics.
The Celtics were in 5.
So they were in 5?
1-3, went to 5 in the 80s with Bird, I believe.
So yeah, no. So then the Celtics wouldn't be there yet. Or this version of the Celtics wouldn't
be
there
yet. Well, right. You couldn't say they're there yet, but they also aren't done, right?
No, they're not done.
And they would do something those teams never did, which would be win back-to-back and repeat. I would say it's time to start mentioning them in the same breath if they repeat. It's time to start mentioning them in the same breath as the 80s Celtics.
Yeah, because that is one thing that they would have.
And they're clearly ahead of the Garnett Celtics. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that one's over. That'd be over because the Celtics were in – Pierce and Garnett only played in 2 finals, right?
Which this group has already done.
And they're 1-1. So they're already 1-1. So even if they just get there, they're already better. If they get there and lose, they're better than the Ray Allen, Garnett, Pierce Celtics.
What do they need to do to be considered greater than the 80s Celtics? Do they got to win 3?
They need to win.
Do they have to win more than them?
I think if they win 3 and get to 5, which would be the same, but you throw in a back-to-back, then I think maybe that's the tiebreaker.
Because some people, they're going to have to pass them. Some people, they're going to have to,
yeah.
Like, this is like the Brady Mahomes thing all over again. It's like some people are like, well, you can never be considered the greatest until you pass them and until you win more than them and Brady won head to head, blah, blah, blah.
Well, like, they won't have a chance to beat the 87 Lakers. Right. Because like the whole thing with Mahomes is like, well, Mahomes lost to Brady. And it's like, well, like, you can't match him up like that. But I think this is where you get into like the details of each season. Whereas, you know, the Celtics losing in the semis, in the conference semis in 83. Like, is that different? Like, how many playoff wins do you have? How many series wins? things like that. I mean, to some people, it'll never happen. This Celtics team could win six, and they wouldn't be better than the 80s.
If they win back-to-back, are they considered greater than Cowens and Havlicek?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
70s was a bad basketball decade.
70s was a weird decade, but it was two finals appearances, and they won two out of three. In a three-year span, they won two.
So with the championship, they're moving past Cowens, Havlicek.
Yep.
They're moving past Garnett and Pierce.
Yep.
And they're, I think you can mention them in the same breath as the 80s Celtics.
Then
so like that.
They're chipping away at Russell.
Yeah.
They're now two. They have nine more to go.
They're working their way up. So like, but that.
Yeah, no, but it's for like team history.
Legacy-wise, those are some of the stakes. I mean, that's interesting to think about. I thought it was a good discussion this morning with Greg. If you missed any of that, you can check it out. Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. You want to jump in on the Celtics and them advancing past the Orlando Magic? You can. You know the phone number. And let's get back to the Patriots. I want to get to Mike Vrabel moving on from yet another leader on the team. What does that say about Vrabel? And how does it reflect on Jerod Mayo and that team from a year ago? Plus, have we gotten any updates from Jordan Hudson yet today? We were promised a full statement. Any updates there? We'll mix that in as well next.